Hi. I often wonder just how many of us are still searching for the one. It's true that some of us have found that person. Some have loved and lost, while others have just been plain unlucky in the quest that deep down inside, most of us are on. At least at some time or the other in our lives. And no, by the one, I don't mean a husband or a wife. Just a person. A partner, someone who doesn't complete you, but compliments you. Compliments with an E. Compliments with an I are more than welcome too. Everyone's quest for the one is different. There is no rule book. There is no single definition of that perfect person. In fact, there is no perfect person. There is no mold you need to fit them into. There's none that you need to break them out of. It could be someone as simple as a partner who you enjoy watching movies on the screen or curled up on the sofa with, someone you may enjoy working out with, someone you can talk to all the way into the wee hours of the morning or on days that you're having a bad time, someone whose text makes you smile or makes you wistful or more. It can be a person who gets your soul's longing like no one else, or just someone you like going on a late night drive with music you both love, or music that you play for each other that you love. It could be a fellow foodie, a glutton even, a runner, etc., etc. But here I mean someone you're attracted to, someone with whom you can be yourself. No masks. Except for now when we have to wear them, of course. No take backs, no judgment, no filters. And no guilt. Hence for me, single men only. I have to confess, at the risk of sounding like the last hopeless romantic to inhabit the earth, that my quest continues. There must be someone for me, right? Life, and Cupid if you will, can't be all that mean. So yes, I remain optimistic. Through all the heartache, heartbreak, disappointments, wrong turns, and sometimes just plain terrible luck, I still wait. I've also come to realize that I might not get all the qualities that make someone attractive in a single person. So yes, I have to keep all those permutations and combinations in mind as well. And I have to say that I've met some fab people over the last few months. And I've met some superbly charming assholes too. They're all par for the course as far as I'm concerned. Necessary evils, right? Besides, to vaguely paraphrase an old birthday card I had given someone in uni, it's good to meet a lot of wrong men so that you'll recognize the right one when he comes along. I think my quota of the gadhas is kind of done. Let's see what the next few months have in store for me. Anyway, enough about me. I've been talking and talking in all these previous episodes. In this episode, I'm talking to a fellow traveler, someone I met on one of the dating apps, whose company I enjoyed a lot. And though we haven't met each other in a while, thanks to Corona and the fact that we live two states across, we still keep in touch off and on. Here he shares his views on what his quest has been like and what he thinks are some of the truths when it comes to finding love or that special someone again, be it in your 30s and or your 40s, 50s, etc. He is also someone who has agreed to be my guinea pig because this is the first interview that I'm doing on my podcast. It's the first guest that I have on, and it's the first time I'm editing multiple segments. So I know sometimes you'll wonder what happened to the music or why something is so abrupt. Please be kind to me. I'm my own producer, editor, commentator, and I'm learning as I go along. And this, of course, is still a work in progress. But I do hope you enjoy the conversation. I'd love to hear from you on my Instagram or Twitter, the handles for which are both the same, @truthaboutnobody, TRUTHABTNOBODY. D-Y. Now let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Manish and I met on Hinge earlier this year. He turned 41 this July, is divorced, Punjabi, and father to a teenage daughter. One of the reasons we hit it off was because we both had tons of insights and anecdotes on dating to share, having been around for a while. Manish is animated, intelligent, good-looking, and much fun to hang out with. Sometimes pretty sage as well, and yeah, a bit of a philosopher too. And rather honest, sincere if you will. He's been an investment banker, and what's more, I've seen him on television talking about things and numbers that scare the hell out of me. So we met for lunch at Khan Market one day and liked each other's company enough to carry on for a cup of coffee the same afternoon. He bought lunch and I bought the coffee. And who knows, once this lockdown is over, I'm going to return the favor and treat him to lunch. And he might buy me coffee. Hey Manish, thank you for joining me on the Truth About Nobody podcast. You are my first ever guest. And forgive me if I edit anything out badly. I'll repeat that caveat again. I'm going to start with asking you about that controversial theory of yours. You know, when you talk about men and women and the laid versus married phenomena. So let's hear from you. I'm not sure if everyone will agree, so it would be fun to maybe get a few comments after the show.
The ease with which men can get married and women can get laid and their struggles when it comes to getting laid or married, vice versa, has made me conclude any man in India at any age can get married but cannot get laid. And any woman in India at any age can get laid but cannot get married.
Uh-oh, that's likely to cause some heartache out there. Still, it's an interesting concept, I think, you know, worth thinking about. But I'm going to leave this to the listener's discretion to see whether this makes sense or not, or whether they agree or not. I do hope it'll inspire some comments or some feedback. It is a bit controversial and many people might not agree with you. But in any case, let's move on. I want to talk about the fact that, you know, we both have been married before, and at that time I'm sure we thought that, you know, we'd found the one. It wasn't meant to be. And we are both divorced now. You are also lucky to be a father to a lovely girl. And I want to talk about the quest again, you know. Do you think that there's only that one person and that we give up after a while when we feel that we found and lost? Or do you think that we soldier on? What about you? What are your thoughts on this, on finding someone special again?
We've still not given up. Yes, we've had at least one traumatic relationship, but we are still hoping to find the one we want to grow old with. No more getting down from both sides of the bed. Okay, that sounds better in Hindi, but you get the point.
I think that's a very valid point that you make. I don't think I'm willing to give up my left side of the bed yet. But still, I think you're right about this, that it is also about giving a little bit of yourself up. And not just by, you know, saying a space in a cupboard or the side of the bed, but giving off yourself to people. So what are your thoughts on that?
We are at an age now where the space we are in mentally, emotionally, financially is a space that's hard earned. We've given a decade or thereabouts to get to this space. We've overcome traumas of failed relationships, career bumps, loss of close ones, and come out stronger. The space we inhabit, our homes, our mind space, the avocations and hobbies that we've inculcated, the ones that we love doing alone, this place is sacred. It can now be shared only with someone who we truly feel is worth it. The 20s when we had we'll see how it goes and we'll make it work as long as we can make it work, we would back ourselves to make it work, are long gone. Now we know what we don't want. we can't stand. We are very sure of what we can't stand for, and there is no scope for compromise. The person has to be truly worth it. Otherwise, we are good. Actually, we are very good. We don't need anyone else.
I'd have to agree with you on that one, Manish, wholeheartedly so. I don't believe we should give up. But why do you think that is? What is it that we are searching for? What are your thoughts on that?
As you start having conversations and start meeting people, you can't help but conclude how lonely we are. We truly are on our own. Parents, siblings, friends, nephews and nieces. There is no dearth of meaningful relationships in our lives, but the one relationship we crave for. Call it the one person in my life I can truly be myself with. The one who accepts my vulnerabilities, my emotional swings, accepts me for what I am. The one person I am okay to see me emotionally naked. That person is missing. The conclusion at first brings a moment of relief. Oh man, I'm not the only one around who feels like this. There are others too. After that, you can't help but feel a pang. Man, how did I end up here? How did I end up in this lonely hearts club after all I gave to my relationship? Everything. More than even I had. More than what I thought I could be. I was capable of giving to that relationship.
Before we continue, a few words for the app that's made it possible for me to rack up over 1,400 plays for this humble and home-produced podcast. What of marriage again? I mean, there are a lot of people I know who are actually on these apps looking for marriage. And many others who swear that they never ever want to get married. What are some of your thoughts on that? I mean, would you ever want to get married again? And what about the people around you, who you meet or who you know?
You look around and realize that no man your age, amongst your family and friends, is single. They've all gotten married after their divorce, and fairly easily too. So yeah, one finds themselves in rare company. The observation made me ask, how many single men who want to get married do I know? The answer was nada, zilch. I don't know a single Indian man who wants to get married, heterosexual male who wants to get married and is single.
That's going to break a few hearts and probably put things in perspective for other people. I always say that, you know, I'm not cynical or have given up on the idea of marriage, but I think it's highly overrated. I could be wrong, and I know friends who are blissfully married, and God bless them. But I think at this age, you realize that that's not the end goal, or that's not the goalpost really that, you know, you're seeking. I will say this, that there are a lot of different reasons that people are on dating apps, and marriage is sometimes one of them, or finding a long time or long term or lifelong companion is another. I know you have a few reasons that you feel are the ones why people are on dating apps. Tell me about your number one reason, which you have talked about to me. I'd love to hear that.
So here's reason number one, friendship, companionship, platonic friendship. We are at an age where our friends, our peer group in office, cousins, anybody who's around us is busy with their spouses and kids. They have a life that does not synchronize with ours. So who do we talk to if at the end of the day we want to bitch about our bosses, a shoot breeze? Somebody to have an intelligent and a meaningful conversation with. It helps that we are now at an age where hormones are not the primary drivers. So we end up having a nourishing platonic relationship with the opposite sex. Some of my closest friends are women I met through dating apps.
We've both been on dating apps for a while now, and I think it was one of the things that we discussed at great length when we'd met for lunch, and in fact subject of much laughter as well. So as far as I'm concerned, I've shared a lot of my thoughts in previous episodes here. I'd love to hear what your experience has been like to be dating online.
So what is it like to be a male, middle-aged, urban, divorced, single parent to be on a dating app in India? What is it like? Well, the first thing you notice as you go through the profiles on dating apps is the sheer number of independent, well-educated, well-traveled, and dare I use the word, good-looking women who are there on these apps. It's like, why are these women on dating apps? What's with all the single men in their lives? How have they let the situation reach a stage where these women have to go looking for men on dating apps?
I have another big grouse, which is that how have women let a situation arise in which all these dating apps are being completely hijacked by married men? So yeah, I think we all have our questions, and we all have these weird experiences as well, which make us wonder what both the sexes are doing wrong that so many people are ending up on these dating apps. But yeah, they've been fun, to say the least. You know, I remember many years ago, a friend and fellow journalist had written a piece in Hindustan Times op-ed about how Kindle had changed the way women read books and had given them access to things which were difficult sometimes to kind of, you know, read or consume in public. Things like erotica, porn, or even the harmless or sappy Mills and Boone that lead to a lot of raised eyebrows or judgment. And I think now it's time to argue, of course, and it's been argued for a long time, that these dating apps have changed the playing field completely. They've evened it in favor of women in some ways. And in some ways, gosh, they've made it so difficult, because I just sometimes run out of opening lines. What are your thoughts on women and dating apps?
Every woman I've met, no exceptions, has told me how easy it is to find a man who's only looking for sex. Women have put pictures of a red rose as their profile pic and still ended up getting inundated with proposals for copulation. I see another side of this phenomenon. The technology is helping women even the scales. We are, even in urban areas, a conservative society where sex is still a topic spoken in hush-hush tones, and for women to express a physical desire, and we are not talking about opportunities she can have to satisfy herself, is frowned upon. In this world, the introduction of apps has helped women tremendously. Anonymity is powerful. Just back your instincts and you can find a man who will not get you in trouble. Freedom, albeit fleeting, from that 17 years old marriage that has been dead in all but name for the last decade. Go ahead, take your chance. You don't have to look for commitment. Go forth and seek, and there is an excellent chance you'll get what you seek.
Except for the copulation part, which reminds me very much of the Big Bang Theory, and it's a very Sheldonish thing to say. I totally agree with you. It has actually leveled the playing field, and in fact there are times when I run out of opening lines because I have to make the first move. Let's move on. I also want to talk about something that has happened to me quite often, sometimes as cheesy lines, cheesy opening lines, and otherwise a question that has been posed to me quite seriously as to why am I still single. Do you get that as well? And have you ever come across someone who you thought was the one?
Every time I meet someone new, I'm asked, how come I haven't met someone who fits the bill? Surely it can't be all that difficult. And I end up confessing, yes, there have been times when I felt this is the one. Alas, they didn't think of me as the one for them. And I'll not be surprised if someone out there can say they thought Manish was the one and I backed out. For like I said, we are now looking for perfect fit, knowing well we may not find them, but now we are beyond the idea of compromising, for the age of compromise is long gone.
signs. Let's talk about signs, Manish. You know, always people are wondering what makes for a successful date or an ideal date. People often wonder what could be the indicators of interest and indicators of serious interest in them. You know, either ways, how does it work? So if you were to say, you know, if you were to give an idea of one thing that tells you that the other person is interested, what would that be?
Is there one thing, one gesture that can tell you if the other person thinks you are the one for them? Well, here's my dip test. See if it works for you. For men, if she cooks a meal for you. No, sex is no big deal for her. Don't get ideas if she lets you in her bedroom. But she, after working 50 hours in a week, calls you home for a lunch and makes you a three-course meal. Boss, she is dead serious about you. So you better tell her what's on your mind. For women, well, if he tells his mom about you, yet that's all there is to us. Irrespective of how old we get, we will remain mama's boys.
So the quest, in a nutshell.
You would ideally like to sort of grow old with one of your closest friends, and it helps if, I mean, you wouldn't mind if they were great in bed.
So in the end, my thanks are greatly due to Manish, who allowed himself to show a little bit of vulnerability to be on the show and to actually talk about some of the things very honestly and frankly. Thank you so much, Manish. And you've set, I hope, a good precedent for others to agree to be on the show. And I have to say this for the millennials, that when we talk about vulnerability, you have to hand it to them. And I'm hoping that in the next dialogue that I do, I'm going to be having a couple of millennials talking to me. All in all, online dating is not for the weak or the thin-skinned. Definitely not for the uptight. One of the things that I've had to overcome has been my intense aversion to any kind of sexting. I'm still a horrible, prudish, spoilsport when it comes to that sometimes. In fact, I get to hear a lot of names over that one. Like prude, old, frigid, spoilsport, tease, even asshole bitch. Now my aversion has more to do with the fact that this is a whole new world that neither me nor any of my close friends have ever inhabited. In fact, I know of only a couple of friends who have indulged in any of this online dating at all. The unfamiliar has that effect on us. It's scary, threatening even. Also, the kind of exhibitionism that is required sometimes to date people online, especially at a time of a pandemic in which people are finding different virtual ways to satisfy themselves, is beyond me. Men send me pictures often in various stages of undress, like a veritable striptease as well. I have to confess that it's made me laugh more than anything else, because it was happening to me. I couldn't believe it, and I couldn't handle it any better than that. I couldn't reciprocate, because I couldn't bring myself to show that kind of vulnerability. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the other side very soon.